So what is the difference between a realtor and a real estate agent? And do you really need either one of them? Stay right there because we're going to talk about that next.
You're about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
Well, you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California, member of the National Association of Realtors. Please don't hold that against me. Once again, here to help you light the path on your way to real estate success or success in anything. Today's show is pretty real estate focused, so I don't know if there's a lot of crossover today. This is one I've actually gotten emails about in terms of folks asking what the difference is between a realtor and a real estate agent. And I sat down, I kind of thought about it. I had come across an article about a week ago of, you know, seven reasons why you should use a realtor. And if you go and you Google, you'll even find from the same sources, the same websites, eight reasons why you should use a realtor, 12 reasons why you should use a realtor, six important reasons to use a realtor. And what I thought we'd start out with is what's the difference between a realtor and a real estate agent? A realtor is always a real estate agent. A real estate agent is not always a realtor. So let's talk about what the differences are. A real estate agent is the designation you get from the state that you live in. If you happen to live in a state where no real estate agent license is required, well, then I guess you could get a realtor that isn't a licensed real estate agent. I don't think there is a state like that, though. I'm pretty sure all of them have some sort of licensing or certification process. I know every state I've ever considered moving to where I've asked about transferring my license or what it takes to get a new license or those types of things, there's always been a Department of Real Estate in any state I've considered. So I'm going to go on the assumption that that is a blanket for the entire country, that no matter what state you're in, there is some sort of state licensing that goes on. And that is just a state thing. So you take your exam, you take a class, probably mandatory courses are required before you have to take the exam. You take it. After that, maybe some other courses are required by your state, and that's it. And then every few years, you have to take more classes to renew your license. It varies from state to state, and speaking just for the state of California, it's really not that difficult to become a real estate agent. Now, in some states, that's the only license there is, a real estate agent license, and that's all. As a licensed real estate agent in California, you have to work for a broker in order to do the business of real estate. As a licensed real estate agent, you can't just go out and start your own company in California because a brokerage license is required, which is what I have. And a broker's license requires, at least in the state of California, a much broader set of information that you have to learn, a much harder exam that you have to take, and you have to pass that exam with a higher accuracy than the real estate agent test. I think it's 80% accuracy versus 70 or 75 on the real estate agent's exam. So the broker's exam is tough, and there could be a whole other conversation about how easy it is to get a California real estate license. In my opinion, it is far too easy. In some states, it may be harder. In some states, they may only have one license. It just, you may just get a real estate license. And if you want to, you can start your own real estate firm, or you can sign up to work with another office where you're working. And I don't, I imagine under those circumstances, you're not technically working under someone's license. In California, as a broker, the agents who are working under my license potentially can cause me trouble if they do something bad. So I'm supposed to be watching over them and making sure they're doing everything correctly and dotting the I's and crossing the T's and all that kind of stuff. Notice I haven't used the word realtor yet. Once you have gotten this license, it is legal for you to represent others in the purchase or sale of real estate. So here's where the interesting part comes in. The National Association of Realtors is not a government entity. It is a professional association. It's like the American Medical Association or any other association of folks to do a certain thing. And in order to be a realtor, you need to simply pay them a pretty respectable pile of money every year. There's the National Association, and then there's the State Association. So there's – I belong to the – actually in each county, I belong to the Santa Cruz and Santa Clara County Association of Realtors, which gives me – and then they charge me a state association fee and a national association fee. And you may ask, well, why would an agent spend this extra money just to get the realtor designation? Well, to be super honest, the only reason why real estate agents get the realtor designation is for the MLS system. Now, that's the multiple listing system, multiple listing service that is what we all use to tell each other about listings. It's also the site that Zillow and Trulia and all these other websites draw from to get home sales information. Realtor.com is directly connected to what the realtors use. The Realtor.com is owned by the National Association of Realtors, so it has more direct access, so it tends to be more accurate and it tends to be more up to date. So what does that mean to you as a consumer? Well, a real estate agent cannot put their listings on the MLS. You have to be a member of the National Association of Realtors. Each county typically has its own system. Sometimes multiple counties will come together. So when I belong to a specific association, I can search a certain area. Back in the olden days, when I first got started, it was a little bit more complicated. If I wanted to search outside of a relatively limited area, that meant I had to go join those associations, which was a kind of a pain in the butt. Today, I can search on everything from San Francisco down to Monterey. That things have evolved. Obviously, the web has changed a great deal of how this all works. And what's becoming more and more interesting is real estate agents who have decided they don't need to be a realtor, who are willing to go out there and pitch themselves without using the MLS and basically deciding that they're going to just use things like Zillow and Trulia to market their listings. So in theory, if you wanted to, you could get a person to sell your house, list it and sell it, who is not a realtor. But then they would not be able to put your property onto the multiple listing service. Now, and that's really the primary difference. Another thing that they do is they lobby for different – so it's a political organization in addition to being a professional. Well, almost all are, right, just like unions or anything else. So they'll go out and they'll spend money on advertising for political purposes or back certain candidates or back certain laws, those types of things that they think will be good for the real estate industry. So they're there to represent the best interests of realtors, the membership, the folks who pay the dues every year. In terms of the quality of the service that you're going to get, I don't think I can tell you that there's going to be a difference in the service. What you're really getting, though, is access to that MLS. Everybody goes off of the multiple listing service. So if you want your home to be on what is the most used tool for buyers to find homes, then you need to find someone who's not just a real estate agent, but who's also a realtor. Now let's get into some of the bullet points here of all the reasons why you're supposed to get a realtor. And we'll talk about, I'm going to talk about this from the perspective of, yes, this is what a realtor does. Could you do it yourself? If you wanted to sell the house yourself, by and large, the biggest number one thing is going to be that access to the MLS. It just gets more eyes on your property. But let's go ahead and take these wonderful articles and hit the one by one why they say you should have a realtor. And let's talk about whether that makes much sense, whether or not these folks are earning their money given what these folks are saying are reasons you should use a realtor. Number one on this particular list is realtors know how to navigate the process. Now, I would say that's pretty reasonable. One thing that real estate agents and realtors will know is how the process is supposed to work. Not all real estate agents and realtors that I know navigate the process in an efficient, effective way. Just to get your license, you do get basic training in what the forms are and what needs to happen and those types of things. There is no test to become a realtor. The test is, will your check clear? So you're in addition to joining this organization, you also have a set of ethics that go along with joining the association. So the idea is that they'll hold you to a higher standard as a real estate agent. Over the history of me being a member of the National Association of Realtors, I have some folks lose their membership in the association. Super rare. I've known agents who absolutely should have lost their membership, who had complaints against them, and maybe they got a suspension or nothing. I've never actually known an agent who lost their membership in the Association of Realtors. There used to be a little mailer that they would send out listing all the agents who lost their membership. But I'm not sure they include that in the magazine they send out. I've never actually seen it. So in other words, it's really hard to lose your position in the National Association of Realtors. You'd have to do something probably criminal before it would come around to that. So as far as how to navigate the process, I don't think that the difference, but that's not the main reason a realtor is bringing value to you. A realtor and a real estate agent are pretty much at the same point. Like I said, there is no additional training required to become a realtor. So whatever you knew as a real estate agent, you'll know as a realtor. But this is one of those ones where maybe asking the question is good. Is it something you could do on yourself? Yeah. You know, frankly, there are tons of self-help books on how to navigate the real estate process. You could go out and educate yourself, and if you're willing to own all of these various elements of the process, you could absolutely make that work for you. Now, as a buyer, it doesn't make much sense, because if you're interested in buying a home, odds are the home you find is going to be owned is going to be listed by a real estate agent. So in that case, what you would do, you could still represent yourself. You could ask the listing agent to – there's a document that you'd need to sign that would specifically state that they are not your agent and owe you no fiduciary responsibility. It's a form I've actually used before where I had to make sure everyone was aware of who I represented and who I didn't represent. But I needed an actual affirmation from them that they understood that I was not acting as their agent. Now, why would you want to do that as a buyer? Number one is, if you want to do it yourself, you can write into the offer that you will get credited whatever the commission was going to be to the agent that brought the buyer. And that may or may not work for you. Some realtors are going to push back at you not having representation because it can represent just legal difficulties for them later if a lawsuit were to come out of this process. So it introduces a level of complexity that they don't like or a potential risk that they don't like. So they're probably going to want to keep part of that that was supposed to be going to the buyer's agent commission to themselves to sort of offset what they consider to be a higher risk. But you can get yourself credited a certain amount. In today's market, this might be more difficult because the odds are that somebody who is being represented by an agent is likely – because here's what will happen. The person who's listing that house is going to pitch your offer as a less attractive offer specifically because you don't have professional representation. And that in the eyes of this agent – and we there's a debate whether or not that's it's true or not – that it represents a higher risk to the sellers because you can claim at some point you just didn't know what you were doing. You were taken advantage of and then come back and sue them. Whereas if you have an agent, that person is supposed to represent you. And then if you have a problem with how you were represented, you can go to that realtor as opposed to the seller or the seller's agent. So that's the argument that'll be made, and that will probably substantially hamper your ability to make this work for you. Next on this list is realtors know how to professionally list the property. So yeah, if you shop for the right agent, you ask the right questions and discover how they do business, you can figure this out. Sadly, an awful lot of agents simply put it on the MLS and put a sign in your yard and then they're done. So you want to find the agent who doesn't do this. What you're probably noticing just too into this so far is that the real process has very little to do with whether or not this person is a realtor or a licensed real estate agent. It has to do with the quality of what they do. And this is true of anything. I mean, if you work somewhere, I'm sure you have coworkers that you don't feel like they carry their weight or do their job particularly well. But in this case, the only thing that stands between you and a bad agent is your ability to pick a good agent and ask the right questions, right? So just by default, assuming someone who is a realtor is going to be good is probably a big mistake. Number three on this list, know how to prepare sellers. Well, yeah, I guess. Again, this is another thing you could do. I guess we could call this staging, things to get done ahead of time. Absolutely, I think something you could potentially do on your own. If we put a dollar value on this, this is absolutely something that a realtor can make a huge difference on if they have the experience and have the basic understanding of how to get your home best set up for a sale. You can go up though on realtor.com or what's the one that's just here for the Bay Area? MLSlistings.com, which is the front end public website for the MLS system I use. And you just go through and look at the homes that were just listed in the last few weeks, and you're going to find pictures in those MLS listings that are horrible. You know, there was one yesterday. It was one that was so bad that an agent that I work with emailed me the listing information for me to check out the photos. Just horrible. Taken with what looks like the crappiest cell phone camera ever made. And the house is just in horrible shape and no one even bothered to move trash cans or dirty laundry or things off of the cabinet. Just took a few photos and then went with that. So, you know, that person's a licensed realtor with a real estate license. And whoever that lister is, whoever's trying to sell that house, clearly chose poorly. All right, number four, realtors can help sellers prepare for showings. We just did that one. I think that preparing sellers and preparing sellers for showings is basically the same thing. And staging, we've talked about before, getting your home ready to be shown. That's a skill I think that someone needs to come in and help you with that, unless you're very in tune with what buyers tend to want to look for. We can cover that topic at some other point, but I actually think that for the knowledgeable agent, that actually really is a good thing. All the little things that may not occur to you as things that will hold back the sale of your home, having a disinterested third party, someone who's not doesn't have a vested interest in your belongings and how important they are to you on an emotional level, actually is a very good value add in terms of what a knowledgeable real estate agent brings to the table for you. Realtors can help buyers get through the doors. Yeah, absolutely. As part of the MLS system, we have our lock boxes. If you're not using a realtor who's not using one of those style of lock boxes, they're just using a funky little combination box, which is very unsecure. The new digital boxes are actually pretty amazing. They keep track of who opens it. So if something bad happens to your house, then we can find out who the last person was who opened up that lockbox. We can actually find out a list, everyone who's opened up the lockbox over a period of time, at what time they did it, everything. So it works out really well for you, and it's a nice security feature. Number six, know how to objectively negotiate. I would actually argue that this is one of the least developed skills among realtors and real estate agents. I know that when I first joined in real estate, there were absolutely no courses on negotiation. A lot of what I learned in the beginning was strictly trial and error. So you're not going to get, as a real estate agent getting your license, there's really nothing about negotiation. Becoming a realtor, again, no extra training. So there is no training relating to being able to negotiate. There's now currently online advice items, articles and things like that about negotiation. But if you think of negotiation just as a process of sending paperwork back and forth, yeah, they know the paperwork that needs to happen to negotiate back and forth. But when I think most of us take into account negotiation, we're talking about something that's a little bit higher skill level than just shoveling the paper back and forth. Now, they do throw the word objectively negotiate in there, so that's kind of true. But can someone really objectively negotiate when their vested interest, what generates their paycheck, is getting into escrow? I think that's a hard thing to do, and I think far too little time, if any time at all, is spent teaching agents that they need to focus on the best interest of their clients. So as far as who's going to have your best interest at heart, if you've got a third party in it, again, you need to ask the right questions. You obviously will have your best interest at heart, but you're not going to have that objective opinion to sort of tell you how the market works, how the negotiation process best works to help you reach your goals. So I think what we're finding here is that the involvement in a real estate or a third party realtor type person is good in your transaction. But again, it's the skills within each one of these things, the level of sophistication is going to be something you're going to have to interview for. Finally on this list is realtors know the area. This is another one that I think is great because the assumption here is that they know the area. But how many agents go out and look and see advertisements for agents? And here I've seen folks advertise that they're specialists in the area from San Francisco to Monterey. Well, San Francisco to Monterey is gigantic. The city of San Francisco itself, San Jose, Morgan Hill, Gilroy, and San Martin. That's not specializing. I specialize in Morgan Hill, San Martin, and Northern Gilroy. Now, do I know some other areas? Yeah, I'm very familiar with Almaden. I'm very familiar with parts of Santa Clara and Sunnyvale and Cupertino and West San Jose, west of Lawrence Expressway. So yeah, there are areas where I consider myself an expert, probably because I grew up in some of these areas or I've lived in these areas or, you know, I've been here my whole life. So there's a lot of areas where I feel like I have some expertise. But the part that's important for you is to know that who you're talking to knows the local area well enough to represent you and to help you achieve your goals. But here's the other thing. What is it they need to know in order for them to bring value for you? Is it really that important? Should it be at the top of your list? Should this skill of just knowing the area be considered over like negotiation skills or experience? You know, for me, I've had clients who've come back to me years later after working with them, and they've moved maybe to an area outside of my primary area, but they want me to represent them again because we had a good experience with one another. I'll usually let them know I don't know the area, but I'll be happy to research it. So how much time would it take for someone to really get to know what an area has to offer? And my answer in the past for clients who've asked me to do those kinds of things for them has been 2 days. Give me a day to drive around, do some research, particularly today with Google, find out what the area has to offer. I spend the day visiting the area and doing a drive around, and I feel like I'm pretty competent at that point to be able to do a good job for you in getting your home sold. But then I also have access to the best resource possible, the seller. They know what makes that area great. I can sit down with them and have a chat and find out what it is about that area that they've liked the most. So on that final point of knowing the area, is it important? Absolutely. I think it's something to put into the mix, but there are so many other traits or skills that I'd put higher for you to consider if you're trying to evaluate whether or not you need an agent. Now, at this point, you may have noticed that I've been kind of waffling. You know, I'm not really giving you a lot of certainties on these things, because the truth of the matter is that the agent that will do the best job for you is the one you find. You know, none of these magic things like you really need a realtor or you really need a real estate agent give you a full picture. They don't tell you what you need to know about that person. You have to just carefully choose the right person. So much of the things behind whether or not they're a realtor or a real estate agent are not going to define for you whether or not they're really good at what they do. So you need to make a careful choice based on good data. And in the final analysis, you really have to go with your gut. And in the final analysis, you don't even have to go with your gut if you don't want to. If you really feel like you're competent enough to do this on your own, you're going to hit some walls. There are definitely going to be pushback, but you can absolutely do this yourself, leveraging off of today's technology. You may not get as much exposure. In some markets, you may actually get less for your home if you're selling, simply because you're not getting as many eyes on the property. But kind of sit down and figure that out. Decide if it makes sense. There's no rule against starting that way, doing it yourself and deciding, you know what, this isn't really going the way I want, or it's turned out to be more complicated, and then decide to take it off the market as a for sale by owner and then get in contact with a real estate agent. So feel free to do that first. But let me warn you, as soon as you list your home as for sale by owner, you are going to be inundated with phone calls, letters, emails, all from agents trying to get you to list with them. So just be very careful about that. There's a lot of folks that's all they do, is they go through looking for the for sale by owners and they hit them up as fast as they can and as often as they can. So just be aware that as a seller, you are suddenly going to have a gigantic target on your head in terms of getting marketed to by real estate agents in your area. Now, to sort of wrap this up into a nice, neat package, I wanted to cover what some folks on the internet have been putting out in terms of things you're going to get told when you're out there trying to buy real estate without an agent that just aren't true, right? We'll talk about the things that are true and the things that aren't true. This data, I believe, came from Redfin, but it's a really good general list of things to keep in mind, because agents are going to just say things that they assume are correct. And a lot of those things aren't going to be correct, because you're doing something that's outside of the normal flow of how they usually work when you really are trying to represent yourself. Agents may say you're not allowed to buy a home without an agent. No, that's absolutely false. You are absolutely allowed to buy a home without an agent. If you work without an agent, you can only buy a for sale by owner. Not true. You can make an offer on any home that you could if you were represented by an agent. It's just a question of sort of getting that meeting of the minds between you and the seller and an agent that might be involved. If you buy without an agent, the seller's agent will just keep the extra commission. We talked about that. You can definitely write it up so that you keep it. There may come down to some sort of a percentage of it, depending on how the other agent responds. The bottom line is, it's a negotiation item. So they'll either say yes, or they'll say no, or they'll say yes, but they want to not give you the entire commission that would have gone to a real estate agent. Next, even if you don't use an agent, you'll still need an attorney. Redfin calls this one true. I'm going to also say true. I think once you've gone through the process and you feel well informed and you feel like you can handle the process, I say have a real estate attorney review the documents. Now, real estate attorneys are not usually involved in the real estate purchase process in California. I know there are some states where they are. And from everything in my interactions over the years, I've had to work with some real estate attorneys in the past for other things. And it's going to cost you far less for them to review the document than the commission would. So, you know, it's definitely a decent trade-off. If you finally want to get that legal opinion, just so you feel comfortable, that's a very affordable way to go through and have that happen. Sellers won't take you seriously if you don't use an agent. They call it a toss-up. I would agree. However, the agent that represents them is absolutely not going to be an advocate for you. So I would argue that it's less of a toss-up and more likely that they will discount your offer more because of what their agent has to say about it. Next is you don't pay for your agent anyway. The seller does. Working without an agent won't save you any money. That's not true. We've talked about how the amounts all get negotiated ahead of time. So that part of it's true. So you don't have to worry about negotiating what everybody's going to make in terms of commissions. But the seller's already indicated a willingness to give up some amount of money to compensate the agent that brings the buyers. And so if there isn't one, then again, as we've said, that'll be money that you can potentially do something fun with. Either get it credited back to you, or you can even credit it towards the purchase price of the home if you want to offset it that way. You need an agent to be present for inspections and appraisals. This is true. A licensed agent is required to be present for inspections or appraisals in general. At least that's – I've always done it that way, and my understanding is that by and large, that's legally what's required. I've been doing this so long and just always – that's always the way we've done it. And a licensed agent is always there for inspections and appraisals. I'm almost sure that it's also the law in California. Just assume it is, because I know that it's much more common that that's the case than not. Usually for these things, it's the buyer's agent. I like it when both agents go, frankly. When I'm representing the seller, I always go to the appraisals because I'm in the best position to make sure that they have all the information they need to come up with a good one. So in this case, the listing agent is going to have to agree to be there for those things, which is another reason why they may want to keep part of the commission that would have normally gone to the buyer's agent, because they're going to be asked to take on tasks that they normally wouldn't have to do. So that's one reason why that negotiation might come up. What else did they have here? They had something else. Let's see. So they give you seven ways to buy without an agent. First, start your search. And we've talked about that. Next, find an attorney. Before you get too far down the road, find a good real estate attorney to work with. You'll need them as soon as you start dealing with paperwork. Then, of course, view homes, get pre-approved. I would put pre-approved first before you even start searching, because you don't know what you can afford until you're pre-approved. So that should be item one. The next step would be make and negotiate an offer. And again, you need to get creative. You need to don't let yourself be limited by whatever form you use for the offer. And here's a tip. Contact the listing agent and let them know what you're doing. Let them know you're going to be presenting an offer. They may let you use contracts that they use in business. Since you won't have access to them, they may require that any offers that come in be on the Realtors Association forms for that state. That may be tricky, because the way those forms work, their name is automatically put at the bottom. So that might imply a representation that they absolutely don't want to be there. So you'll have to have a chat with them, see if you can get access to it. You might even be able to go into your local Association of Realtors office and see if you can't purchase those contracts yourself. Number six, deal with inspections and appraisals. Yes, and you'll have to make arrangements, as we mentioned before, with the listing agent in that case. And next, close the deal. And here in the state of California, that's a question of just babysitting it through the escrow process, making sure everything happens that needs to happen. Create a timeline for yourself, a schedule. When you sign that contract, it's basically a timeline. It says that these things need to happen X number of days after acceptance, and just make sure that you're living up to your end and poke the other agent with a stick when they don't deliver within the time frame that they're talking about. So yeah, absolutely, you can a well-chosen realtor is worth their weight in gold. Unfortunately, they're not the majority. So my advice to you is, I would look for a good agent. If you're unable to find one and you honestly feel like you can handle this, go for it. But as I keep repeating, it's really – there is no question in my mind that a real estate agent, it can be a vital part of your deal that actually ends up saving you money if you choose the right agent. That's why you keep waffling, because there's no – yep, go right here. Look for this title. Look for this designation. Look for this license, and you're set, because that's just not the way it is. I hate to say it. But there is no way to delegate this one to someone else. You have to make the choice. You have to ask the tough questions. And you have to pick the agent that's going to do the best job for you, because no one else is. And sadly, the bad ones are far more represented than the good ones. So there's no real exact thing I can point to as a for sure way for you to find the right ones. All right. think that's about it for this show, folks. I do appreciate you taking the time to listen to what I have to say on these subjects. Feel free to head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. I'd love to hear your stories, your worries, your successes, your failures, to include here on the show as lessons for everyone else. And all the things that scare you the most about real estate, I want to hear about it. I'd love for you to support the show by heading on over to iTunes, writing a quick review, and maybe even subscribing in iTunes if you're not already. I would deeply appreciate that. That definitely helps push the show forward and get in front of more people. Thanks again, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.